Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Come on, son.
Grab the yells on the track.
Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son. Come on, son.
So first, I'm joined by a really special co-host who I want to introduce because I'm super excited because I'm a radio head and this means something to me. So Ed Lover is in the building. Hello, sir.
Hey, Allie, how are you?
I'm good.
Nice to finally meet you.
I know, right?
Heard many great things about you, but now we're going to rock a podcast together. This is exciting.
Thank you very much. I've heard great things about you as well, sir. So
I hope it wasn't from Kimana, because if it wasn't.
Well, you know, I cut her the check, and then she,
I'm only kidding.
Nah, shout out to our COO, Kimana. She's in the building. Shout out to our CEO, Anthony Jones is in the building. Shout out to Brian.
All the executives and
Yeah, because of you, man.
Yes. I mean,
no,
it's
because of you.
We have a lot of mans around here.
Yeah, you're the guy right now. So since you're the guy right now, we got to, like, honor the guy. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I don't have an applause machine here, but I'm going to add one in later.
I'm going to do it like everybody. Yeah. Y'all need to be clapping and give him a round of applause. What's wrong with y'all, y'all?
Former mayor of Atlanta, currently mayoral candidate for the 2021 election, Kasim Reed, sir.
Good to be with you.
How are you?
I'm doing amazing.
Yeah, you look amazing.
So
I'm not going to lie. You look well.
Outside today. I knew I was going to be on air with Ed Lover. He knows I just respect him and admire him. I'm so glad he's in Atlanta.
I love being in Atlanta. I'm never leaving. I'm letting y'all know that right now.
And, so this was a must-do today.
And,
you know, we got 20 days to Election Day on November 2nd. Early voting has started right now. But I wouldn't miss this moment to be a part of what you're building here.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
For sure.
And I say you look well because I'm going to be honest, when I meet candidates who are, like, in the process of running for, for office, it's always interesting that, like, this is a just complete left of center question. What are you doing? Like, are you injecting yourself in the veins with vitamin C? Or what are you doing?
In the B12 shot?
Injection. I'm not doing none of that.
Okay.
I'm old school.
Okay.
Yes, I think I can, you know, I can do anything for a certain period of time.
Okay.
So the election day is November 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll have one day to sleep and not get up and keep schedule. So that inspiration and my daughter Maria Kristen keep me going.
Okay. That's a fair.
You know, my first question to you is, you did 8 years.
I did.
Right? So why in the hell do you want to be mayor again?
I mean, Ed, last year 157 people got murdered. You can't walk into Lenox Square Mall without walking through a metal detector. You got bomb-sniffing dogs at the foot of the elevator near the food court. You have women in the city of Atlanta sending me screenshots every day because they're driving around on E because they can't go to a gas station for fear of being robbed. It wasn't that way when you moved to Atlanta.
No, it certainly
wasn't. Atlanta was a city that is viewed as a unique place in the world and a center for black leadership. And in the last, since May 29th, there's something going on in our town. And we've got about 12 months before there's a referendum that would likely be on the ballot if crime keeps going in the direction that it is. And it's not just COVID. Crime is up 58%, Ed.
Wow.
58% is closer to 100% than it is to zero. And that's the problem. And so when I was mayor, I was able to bring crime down, but do it in a way that's consistent with who we are as Atlantans. I disbanded Red Dog. I decriminalized marijuana. I ensured that if a police officer was involved in the shooting, it was investigated by third parties. So we can have a big, healthy police force so that when you need it, they come, but that they police in a way that's consistent with our values. And so that's why I'm running, because I looked at the people who are running, and none of them has even run a 7-Eleven, let alone a major American city. Mm. And so we don't have time right now for people who don't know what they're doing. And so I think that we've got a year to get the city together, but you've been living in Atlanta. You know something is going on.
Absolutely.
Things are not right right now. And this behavior has been allowed to go unchecked. It's not going on in Cobb County.
No, certainly not.
No, well, there's a lot of things that don't go on in Cobb County.
I'm just saying, but it's not going on in
Cobb County. Cobb County ain't happening. I live there. I'm telling you.
No, but it's not going on in DeKalb County. It's not going on in Clayton County. Mm-hmm. So someone has convinced people that Atlanta can be treated like a rental car. Driven, ran out, left junkie, turn it in, go on to something else. And you know, I had no intention of running for mayor. I was on another person's show. They asked me straight up, were you going to run for mayor? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I said, absolutely not. But there's no term limit on being a citizen. If I drop off, if my daughter is being dropped off and her grandmother's vehicle is robbed within 5 minutes, I can be upset.
Absolutely.
If my mother, the Chick-fil-A that my mother goes to, right? She wasn't at the Chick-fil-A, but she goes to that Chick-fil-A in Colony Square, robbed in broad daylight, and there's a gunfight outside, I think I can be upset about that.
Absolutely.
When you look at places, you know where your family goes. Mm-hmm. So when you see a shootout happening at a place, your heart and your mind goes to your family. I know women, I know two women that had to buy a separate car because they can't drive the car that they bought.
Because the car that they originally drive is a luxury vehicle.
They bought a woman bought a Porsche Panamera and then had to buy a Ford Focus.
To feel safe when she went to the gas station.
She went to the gas station. Because right. When she was putting gas in her Porsche Panamera, she's shaking. Like, that was not the way that it was when I was mayor. You will not take a car from a woman. You will not put the gun in anybody's chest and take a car. And you will not kill anybody. Those are very simple, fundamental rules. And everything else we can have a conversation about. But someone needs to lay down a firm set of standards that are either going to be followed or you're going to have consequences and repercussions. Mm. And so that's not talking tough. That's just we all operate by a set of rules.
How much of that do you think was brought about? I will say this. I know that crime went up everywhere, like nationwide.
It didn't go up 58%.
Well, fair enough. And depending on where you were, you know, the major cities, that kind of thing,
Houston's
rural areas.
Houston's a big, robust city. It's up 24, 26, 28, 30 points. Yeah. That's not 58%.
But how much of that had to do with the pandemic and the fact that people weren't getting unemployment, that money and class started to play, I think, in Atlanta especially, a little bit of, started to play into that violence?
I think a significant amount of it. And I think if it had gone up 25 or 30%, I wouldn't be running for mayor and people would feel that we're just managing through COVID. Mm-hmm. 58%. And 157 people martyred who were never going home to their families. When I was mayor, 7 out of 8 years, less than 100 people were murdered. 1 year, 110 were murdered. The very next year, we brought it back down. And so the point that I'm making is, if you have 157 people murdered, and there are only 365 days a year, every time you look on television and on the news, you're going to be hearing about somebody being murdered.
Every few days, yeah.
It then leaks into the community, and it impacts whether you feel safe going to a restaurant, going to a movie, picking your kid up, taking your child to a park.
True.
And it is what is going on in the city of Atlanta.
How much of that, though, is the George Floyd effect?
The George Floyd effect? I actually think that it's a moment for us to change policing fundamentally and make it more thoughtful. I like what London Breed is doing in San Francisco, where she sends mental health and care teams for situations that involve mental health. I think we should do that. I like what Raz Baraka is doing in Newark, New Jersey. Last year, Newark cut crime significantly. Not a single officer in their police department fired their weapon one time.
Wow.
Right. So those are
so
the
we
folks,
know it's possible.
Yeah. So those are the folks. First of all, I went to Howard Raz. So that's a very comfortable call for me to have. Those are the folks that we need to lean on for expertise. But the bottom line is everybody else who is running for mayor, they're like med students. They may be bright. They may be ambitious. They may be smart, but they've never performed surgery.
You feel and like that Atlanta about Felicia Moore?
Yeah. Felicia's never run a 7-Eleven. I mean, just have an honest conversation. What has she done in her career?
I mean, Felicia Moore, at present moment, she stands as the city council president.
I'm talking about in her life.
In her life,
she's never run anything like a major American city. And so I wasn't even bringing the names of the people up. But if you, Atlanta is sick. The goose that laid the golden egg is ill. 20% of the people in Atlanta, if an election held today, would leave. That would cripple the Atlanta public school system and cost $232 million. To a kid in Summerhill, right? Mechanicsville, Pittsburgh. So my point is, it's no game. So people want their city put back. And when I mean put back, they want normalcy. They want to be able to walk into a store and buy an item and not have to put it in a white bag because the cashier is worried about you getting robbed on your way to your vehicle. You have real estate that can't be leased because it's around Lenox. Now, you've been around here. When I was coming up, having an office that overlooked Lenox
was a big deal. It still is.
Premium.
Yeah, it's
no,
still
it's
right.
not right now. It actually isn't.
Now,
no,
there are people, including myself, who would rather go to Greenbrier Mall than to go to Lenox Mall.
I was at Greenbrier this weekend.
I love Greenbrier Mall. Shout out to Greenbrier Mall. But it used to be the complete opposite. Right? It used to be you were scared to go to Greenbrier, but you felt 100% comfortable in Lenox Mall. Now it's the complete opposite.
You go to Greenbrier, you're comfy, cozy.
Yes, you are. I go there all the time.
Well, why do you feel comfy, cozy at Greenbrier now versus Lenox?
Well, I always felt comfy, cozy at Greenbrier because I'm from there. I mean, I just love the hood.
So I always felt good at Greenbrier. Southwest but I'm Atlanta. Saying with the way the majority of people felt.
Yeah.
Right? Southwest Atlanta to me has always been cool.
Yeah.
Right? But it was the higher end stores and everything that you aspired to be or aspired to acquire were in Lenox. Now you don't feel comfortable going to Buckhead, period. What happened to Buckhead, Mr. Man?
What happened is the police department was allowed to shrink. So when I was mayor, we built the force up to 2,000 officers so it would cover the city. And at the exact same time, Ed, we added 71,000 new residents. So we added more people than Boston. We added more people than San Francisco over the last 10 years.
Facts.
While the city got bigger, most of that growth occurred while I was mayor. While the city got bigger, the police force got smaller. And then in addition to that, the officers didn't feel supported. They felt like if anything happened, they were going to be thrown under a bus. And so crime spiked. It didn't spike. It's become an ongoing condition that's lasted for much longer than I think it should have. That's what I think happened.
What do I know?
I've only been mayor 2 terms and reduced crime to the lowest level that it had been in 40 years.
How do you, as mayor of Atlanta, find a balance between protecting the people from rogue cops but making the cops feel like you have their back?
Guaranteeing due process. And what due process it means is that you will have a process. It doesn't mean you're guaranteed a conclusion. But what all of us want is to know that if something happens, my side of the story is going to be heard before there's a judgment. And what police are worried about right now is their side won't be heard before their career is ended.
Come on, son. This portion of Come On, Son, the podcast is brought to you by McDonald's. Proudly serving communities since 1965, there's something about those golden arches in the sky that brings on a sense of warmth and familiarity you can't get anywhere else. McDonald's is way more than affordable, delicious food. It's the neighborhood meetup spot. It's a teenager's first job. It's that pit stop you know is always going to be there on road trips. I remember back in the 90s, McDonald's was that number one spot to host your toddler's birthday party. Y'all remember that? Everybody had a birthday party at McDonald's. And remember those old school play places? Those were the perfect babysitter where parents could just take a moment to themselves and enjoy a nice Coke or a Big Mac all to themselves without baby Jason screaming, "Give me some of that, Daddy!" McDonald's is your neighborhood community meetup space that keeps on adapting with the times, from free Wi-Fi access to creative coffee combinations. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Thank you, McDonald's.
Come on, son, son.
Attention, all my Come On, Son family. Yes, I am talking directly to you. Are you looking for a delicious and refreshing way to take in some additional nutrition and essentials that are good for you? Well, vitamin water at its core is a simple and fast way to get some health benefits from vitamins, electrolytes, and other ingredients, all with a great taste. Are you hearing me? Are you listening to me? Are you in tune with me? Well, I certainly hope so. The best part of vitamin water? Zero sugar, great taste, and zero sugar. You heard me right. I said zero sugar. Now, a couple of my favorite flavors that help quench my thirst and hydrate my body at the same time. Vitamin Water Zero Shine. Strawberry lemonade flavor with biotin, vitamin A, and 200% more vitamin C to help support hair and skin health. And you know we all need that. Another favorite of mine is the Vitamin Water Revive. Fruit punch flavored, and I love fruit punch, with choline and potassium supporting normal liver function. Gotta have it. Listen, my friends, the older we get, the more we need to care about what we put in our bodies. All right, let's be real. And Vitamin Water has added ingredients to its entire rainbow of flavors. Listen to me. For anything you might need in your hydration, there's Vitamin Water for that.
Come on, son, son.
Right now, there are some African Americans with sickle cell disease who need a blood transfusion every single month just to stay alive. And they are more likely to get a compatible match from a donor of the same ethnicity. So please donate, because our blood saves lives. Go to redcrossblood.org/ourblood. Find out where and what time in your neighborhood now.
Come on, son, son.
And I've been in neighborhoods all over Atlanta the last 122 days. I have not met one person that said, I want less police. Not one. Not in any neighborhood.
You'll never hear me say
that. Not from any young. I've not. Nobody's come up to me and said, you know what, Mayor? I want less police. Police are coming through here too much. I've not heard that. I've heard people come and say they want responsible policing. They want our police retrained. They want them trained in de-escalation. Mm. They want them in plain clothes. They don't want them in military fatigues. And I've heard all of that.
Mental health
advocate.
But I have
not heard we want mental health teams to arrive if it's a mental health situation, not a police situation. All of that conversation is going on. What I haven't heard is we want less. Because folks know you can't continue to have this city that's attracting people from all over the world with a police force that's less than 1,400 officers. It needs to be at 2,000. I'm going to build it back to 2,000. But I'm going to be consulting with and using the techniques of people who I respect who've gotten really good results.
Fair enough. Do you feel like, so it kind of brings you back. I think we're in agreement with the class thing, right? That is playing a part.
Yes.
But then also, is what you're saying a law and order kind of thought process?
No, not at all. Because we're actually going to go bigger on the human side.
Okay.
So when I was mayor, we had 33 recreation centers that were city centers of hope. They were open to 7 o'clock, 6 days a week. Took so much pressure off moms and dads, because you knew there was a place that was Starbucks cool with technology and books where you could relax. We served warm meals. You knew there was a place for your child to be until 7.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that focusing on black women, because black women were constantly having to rush to pick up kids by a certain time.
Right.
You're 15 minutes late, it's $20. You're such and such late. No, there's a place where the children in the community can go and be state-of-the-art safe to 7 o'clock at night and have food and be safe. I'm going to open up 33 of those again. They run through Atlanta. They're literally everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to bring down teen crime by giving folks more things to do. We're also going to pay every teen in Atlanta between 13 and 18 who wants a job $15 an hour for 6 weeks of summer.
Wow.
Okay.
Because idle hands are the devil's playground.
You've never lied.
Reconnect our young people with work, and $15 an hour is real money. And at the end of the week, that's a real check. Regarding water boys, I intend to go to council and ask to provide water boys with a contract to serve water to the city of Atlanta.
Why were they
They're not going to be on corners, because I don't believe what's going on corners, selling people water that they don't want oftentimes, is cool. But I do believe that if you wake up in the morning or you go out in the afternoons and you can stand in an intersection, you have some get up and go.
Yeah, yes. You should get a vendor's license and I go
try,
stand somewhere.
What I try to do is I school them. Yeah. When they come to my truck and I already have water and they want to serve me water, I'll roll the window down and talk to them. I might still buy the water even if I want to. Yeah. But I try to teach them that presentation is everything. Yes. Yeah. And the way that you talk to people and present yourself, if you presented yourself in a different manner, maybe you could sell more water than the yo-yo-yo with the dirty T-shirts on and the shorts. You're scaring people. So I try to teach them something about customer service and presentation while they're selling their water. And 9 times out of 10, they're really open to listening to me, and they take it into account. Listen, I mean, what your thought process.
But then you're gonna get a better chance because we're actually gonna create a system. The city has 8,500 employees. All those employees drink water at some point during the day. I believe that the people who are standing on intersections should figure out how to provide water to the various departments of the city of Atlanta. It's a two for win, because I think that get up and go needs to be appropriately channeled, connected to people like you. Connected like to entrepreneurs like Paul Judge, Ryan Glover, other people who are out here doing amazing things. Shaka Zulu, there are a bunch of brothers that have a real interest in helping engage with these young people. That's where we ought to be going. People have completely misread me. This is not any law on order, tough on crime nonsense. What it is normalcy, restoring a sense of community, treating people with dignity. You cannot touch a woman. You cannot take a gun and take somebody's car. And you can't kill anybody or shoot anybody. That's it.
beyond the policing and adding back to the police force and reinstilling what you had going before you left and Mayor Bottoms came in, what else do you want to see? What else is it that you're? What else is it you want to open back up? Because I know affordable housing is about to open back up.
Yeah, so I think we need to do a guaranteed income benefit initiative. Mm-hmm. So I want to take 250 families to 500 families and try out this guaranteed income benefit to see how that works. Mm-hmm. I think we need to do baby bonds. Like in San Francisco, when a child is born, the city sets aside an allotment of money and allows it to grow. And then at 18, that person receives that money to help get started in their life, more than a pat on the back or a handshake.
Which so more than likely is money that goes back into the city where they live.
Exactly. Right. So that's an initiative. So I'm excited about doing so many new things, but because crime is the number 1, 2, and 3 issue for people, and it's the number 1, 2, 3 in election, that's what people hear. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we've been in probably 20 to 25 forums. So it's not like we're not having more full conversations. And then my strategy is to go anywhere where there's serious people that want to talk.
Right.
That's why I'm sitting here on this podcast 21 days before an election.
Which we appreciate.
Very much so.
Your time and your schedule by the minute at this point in the campaign.
Yeah.
And so my strategy is going to be, I will go anywhere where I know there's serious people. I will talk to anybody. I will go to any neighborhood. I will go to grocery stores, beauty shops, beauty parlors, barbershops. That's why I'm winning. That's why I'm winning.
I have
every
one more
public poll,
for you.
I've been in first because I know how to run for mayor, I know how to be mayor, and I know how to win.
There you go. I have one more question for you.
Of course.
When Keisha Lance Bottoms was running for mayor, you supported her 100%.
No question.
Had she decided to stay, would you have run for mayor again?
I would not. But I would have made my feelings known about what I think is wrong. And I'm sure that if I'm fortunate enough to win, she'll do the same. And I'll be completely okay about it. I mean,
I deeply believe
that folks are entitled to their opinion.
If she would have asked you to come on, let's say she ran, she won, and she asked you to come on in some kind of advisory capacity or to take over some kind of major space in City Hall, would you have come back in that capacity, or would you
have? Well, knowing Mayor Bottoms well and how fiercely independent she is, she wouldn't have done that. So that's not even one. I've known Mayor Bottoms for a long time, which is why I supported her. Mm. I mean, people were amazed at all the success that she had. I was never amazed at the success she had. That's why I supported her when nobody supported her. And so I don't think she would have invited me to, but, you know, with people that you've known since high school, I believe you should always be a phone call away.
That's cool.
That's a fair enough answer. That's fair enough.
That's very cool. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Man.
No, thank you all.
I just got one last question.
I'm sentimental right now because we're in the building that H.J. Russell built.
Yeah.
And H.J. Russell mentored me. And when I was in college, this is where I interned.
Wow.
So my office was in the basement in this building.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes.
Full circle then, I guess. 360.
Yes, it is.
When I got out always works that way, doesn't it?
But I got an easy one for you. This is I'm just alley-ooping, right? You ready?
Okay, what you
got? For fun.
Yes.
What are you doing?
For fun, what I'm doing?
Yeah.
Man, I don't really get to do much right now. I'm walking around the house singing a lot of old songs. I'm singing a lot, and I'm listening to a lot of music. Because that's the, I mean, when I'm in the car going between places, that's the only time that I really get to have a little joy. So I've been going around listening to Lou Rawls' You'll Never Find.
Ah, I love
you'll
that.
You'll never
all
find.
The time. As long gotcha. As you live.
Someone who loves you.
Tender like I do. I love that. It's my song, man.
Yeah.
I'm picturing you in my mind, yes. In your car.
That's what I'm
to
doing.
To top of your lungs.
Yes.
Hitting it.
And nobody can say a word. But,
not a thing. Not
well,
a
you know thing. What? Atlanta really will never find another mayor like you, Mr. Mayor Reed. I promise you that. Good luck. 21 days away.
Ladies and gentlemen, I do want to point out that nobody on Ed Lover's staff remembered the Ed Lover dance.
Mm-mm-mm.
And Rosonda, if you out here listening, Chili, for those who don't know that, Rosonda's name is Rosonda Thomas. Chili, I told Ed Lover that you do the best Ed Lover dance ever.
I challenge you.
So y'all need to go
challenge.
And find Chili and see if y'all can get her to come on
challenge.
Your air. And then we need to bring back the Ed Lover challenge.
That's right.
I mean, hashtag we'll do it on Ed TikTok. Lover challenge. Air.
Hashtag, yeah. We'll get it.
Can you do it?
No question. I would kill it. In the minute,
and that would be so cool.
Wait a minute. I will destroy it.
Okay.
And the minute that I win, I will compete.
You will do the dance.
Yeah, I will not do the dance prior.
Fair enough.
But when this election is over, I will compete.
When you are sworn in, I want to be right there. As soon as you finish, I need you to break out to the Ed Lover dance.
Yeah, it was really an East Coast version of the Humpty.
It really was. Mine was first.
I'm taking y'all way back, but it has similar flow and movement to what they did with the Humpty dance.
That's right.
Fair enough. There's a staircase in City Hall, and so provided that you win,
yes,
you stand in front of the staircase and hit it. Or
I'm
doing?
Not giving up rights to stage it.
Okay, all right, I'm asking.
But it's gonna get done.
I'm gonna do it.
It's gonna get done.
No question.
And I will be there.
No question.
Suited and booted.
Should.
And
as
I will
should,
do it
sir.
With him.
Where yes. else would you be?
We will do it together.
Yes.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming. Because you didn't, you know, and I'm glad I feel like a serious person because you only show up for the serious people. So I feel serious.
No, that's
right.
Mayor Reed is just.
I do appreciate you and thank you for coming.
I'm here. I had a ball. Thank you so much. Vote November 2nd.
Cassine
Reed for mayor. Yeah. Go season. Early voting right now.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. Thank you, Allie, for having
me. One
more
time.
Thank you.
Y'all can call me three-term. You can call me FF, future and former mayor. Just call me mayor.
Whatever you call me.
Peace,
whatever,
y'all.
Whatever they call you mayor.
Yeah.
All right,
just call
fair,
him mayor. Fair enough.
Come on, son.
This Ed Lover podcast is being done in conjunction with Cigars International. Make sure you check out cigarsinternational.com for all your cigar needs.
This episode of Come On, Son, the podcast is produced and engineered by co-executive producers Kimana Paulus and Krista Hayes. Recorded at Mean Street Studios in downtown Atlanta, Georgia, this is an official Loudspeakers Network podcast.